Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. All right, so last week, as we looked at the beginning portion of this long 50-some verse, some odd verse, question and answer time between Jesus and His disciples, we saw a few things. And I just want to kind of go over those really quickly, just kind of jog our memories and get us on track for where we need to be at this morning. So last week, Jesus talked at length about bread and used bread as an illustration for life, really, of what we need in not just our physical bodies, but more importantly, in our spiritual bodies, in our souls. And so Jesus said that His food that He gives out should be our top priority. He said that God's desire was that we believe in Jesus. Thirdly, we saw that that God's true bread or spiritual food for us is not something, but someone. And then lastly, we saw that Jesus is that true bread for our lives. We ended our discussion by saying or by realizing how that applies to us is that in our spiritual lives, we only have two options. And we're going to fill our spiritual lives with either one or the other. And that is with spiritual junk food or with Jesus. And we each day, each moment, we've got to choose which one we're going to fill our lives with. Today, Jesus takes the conversation in a slightly different direction by discussing who comes to Him. Now, that may sound a little weird. We're going to talk all about it this morning. What we're going to do today is we're going to read all the verses. We're going to start at verse 34, which we kind of ended with 34 and 35 last week. We're going to pick back up there. We're going to get all the way down to verse 51, okay? Then we'll come back and we'll talk about kind of the two big ideas that Jesus speaks about. All right, here we go. They said to Him, so that's the crowd that's in Capernaum, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, going too fast for my space. There we go. Okay. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe in me." So in other words, the crowd has seen Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me." All right, so if you want to know what God's will is, again, we talked a little bit about this week, here's part of it. That Jesus should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. All right. So, the Jews grumbled about Him, because He said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, listen to this, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Verse 43, Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father." In other words, nobody has seen the Father except Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life.
I am,
here we go again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Verse 51, last one. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now that verse will take us into what we want to talk about next week, which is a really interesting section in John. But today, in this passage, verses 34 through 51, Jesus gives us two broad ideas that all center around who comes to Him. All right, here's the two ideas. The first one He's going to talk about is how people come to Him and what happens like around that coming to Him. The second set is the people who do come to Him receive some things. And so Jesus kind of elaborates on what those things that they receive are. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We'll start over here with how, and then we're going to get to what they receive. Now, just for clarification, because Jesus uses that phrase, whoever comes to me, that may be a little odd. That sounds a little weird. So let's talk about that first before we get into the actual verses. The word whoever, or sometimes Jesus uses anyone, what does that mean? It literally means that there are all kinds, types, and of people that can come to Jesus. When Jesus says whoever, it means anyone. So that means that includes different backgrounds, socioeconomic levels, ethnicities, races, and everything are in this group, included in this group of whoever comes to me. Right? So it's people. So when we read some of these verses, if you want to interpose people for whoever, that's totally fine because that's what he's talking about, people. Now, what does he mean by comes to me? Is he talking physically like who just comes and stands by me? No. Comes to me is another way of saying believes in me. And as we've seen the last few weeks, believes in me doesn't just mean I believe that Jesus actually lived. It's deeper than that. It's not just I believe in Jesus because I saw Him do some great signs and miracles. Again, we've seen throughout the early parts of John that if you only believe in Jesus because He does great miracles, that's not saving faith. Jesus, remember, He says, believe in me is characterized by how I say you must believe in me. And that is characterized, namely, by believing and living out that Jesus is the Son of God, the divine, pre-existent Word of God. Who came to do what? To hang out and live around and tell everybody they're okay? No. To die for the sins of the world. And we'll see that played out further and more and more as we get further into John. Right? So when Jesus says, those who come to me, we're talking about those who believe in me, who are what I grew up hearing the language of, those are those who got saved, who gave their life to Jesus, who are disciples of Christ. That's what he means. So whenever we talk about whoever, it's people, comes to me equals believes in me. All right, so let's talk about how these people come to me, come to Jesus. All right, we're not going to go in, you know, normally we would go like in chronological verse order. We're not going to do that today. I kind of put them in order as to, not priority, but the way they would read out if you were like listing them. Okay, so here we're going to start in verse 44. So the first thing that Jesus says of how these people come to me. Let's read the verse again. It's up on the screen. All right, here we go. It's in your Bibles, on the screen, on your phones. Here we go. No, listen. No one. Now remember, who is whoever and anyone? People. No people. No person can come to me. No person can come to Jesus unless what? Unless the Father who sent Jesus draws that person. Okay? Read it again. No person, no one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father who sent Jesus, me, draws that person. What's the word draws? It's interesting. Language, right? We're not talking about like drawing on a paper. We're talking about drawing. The word draw means to pull someone out by force from the inertia of their life. Read that again. Let me say that again. It means to pull someone or something out by force from the inertia of the direction they were going. What does that mean? Like, okay. Can I put that in the context of John 6? Can I put that in the context of last week? Remember how last week Jesus said, don't work for food that perishes? And then we said that oftentimes we fill our spiritual desires with materialism and sensual pleasures and junk. Let's put that in the context of no one comes to me unless the Father pulls us out of the inertia of the direction we were going. Listen to me, friends. All of us in this room and everybody across the face of the earth, the inertia of their life, the movement, the motion, the pull of their life, the pull of your life, the pull of my life, was to fill our spiritual desires with junk. And our life was spinning around so fast and so hard that there is no way we could have gotten our own selves out of that. Our craving and our desire for junk food to fill our spiritual lives was so strong and so hard that only God the Father could pull us out of that cycle. Think of it this way. Let me give you a tangible example. So we've got a washing machine that doesn't have an agitator in the middle of it. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of those types of washing machines, but they spin really fast. Really fast. And because there's no agitator, so they have to spin. That's how it cleans, do all this stuff. And, I mean, it sounds like the sucker is about to fly out of the roof, off the floor, like through the roof. How much drawing, pulling, do you think? Now, you can't do this because the thing automatically shuts off because it's got some sensor that won't let you open the door. But imagine you could open the door. How hard do you think it would be to get a towel that is plastered against the side of the wall as that thing is moving at full speed? Well, one, it'd probably break your arm off. I imagine, I've never tried, now some of us... running like that guy that, like that meme that has the math equations going everywhere in our minds, like, I wonder if we could actually do that, right? But you would have to pull it really hard. Why? Because the inertia of that machine is keeping everything pressed to the outside. That's the way your life was going. That's the way my life was going. My life was going such in a tailspin that there was no way I could have gotten out of that on my own. Somebody had to, with greater strength, with greater power, with greater force, had to pull me out of that. And the same thing goes for you. And listen to me, Jesus says the same thing goes to anyone and everyone who comes to Jesus. Jesus said, so let me kind of get down here on the practical level. When I was a kid, at the church I grew up at, we had different preachers who would come in every so often, and you know, we would have like revival, or we'd have evangelism conferences or preaching conferences. And I can't tell you how many times, innumerable times, that I heard preachers say this line. You ready? You may have heard it too. If you'll take one step, the Father will meet you down the aisle. No one comes to me unless the Father draws me. Or maybe you heard this. Some of y'all just need to stop white knuckling the pew and give it over to the Lord. You know what I mean by that? Like, you know, if you hold on to something so tight, your knuckles become white because they've like lost blood supply. What that means is like, you know, you need to do something for the Lord, but you're like trying to hold on, right? And so you're like knuckling the pew rack in front of you. I heard that one too. But how does that square with John 6:44? It don't. Not at all. Because listen to me, friend, you never take one step out of your pew to come to Christ if the Father wasn't drawing you. In fact, I'd go one step further. You would not even be convicted of the sin that you were in to know that you needed to walk down the aisle if the Father had not drawn you and pulled you out of the inertia of your life. Look, when I was about 14 years old, I was white-knuckling the back of a chair in West Virginia at a youth retreat, knowing I needed to give my life to Christ. But how did I know? How did I know that I was in sin? And how did I know that I even needed to do that? Because the Father was drawing me. The only way that you will even know that you need to white knuckle the back of the pew is if God is pulling you out of the inertia of your life. So no, it is not you take the first step and God. It is God takes all the steps and pulls you out of the inertia of your seeking your own desires and our own desires, which lead us to death, hell, and the grave. So it is not you take the first step. It is God takes all of the steps and pulls you away, because there's no way you and I would choose to do that on our own. So who comes to Jesus? Those who the Father draws. Second thing we see, what happens when they come? In verse 37, Jesus gives us two extra points about this idea. He says those, in the first half of this sentence, he says those who the Father draws will come to me. Look what he says. All that the Father gives me will come to me. In other words, if God pulls someone out of the inertia of their life, they will come to Jesus. And it says all, so that means all the people that God pulls out of the inertia of their sin-filled life will come to Jesus. None of those will get kind of lost along the way. They'll all make it to Jesus. And then look what he says in the second half of this verse, point number three, about how these people come to Jesus, how you and I, how people come to Jesus. Whoever, can you go back to verse 37, babe? There we go. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Now, here's the cool part. All that the Father draws, the people that the Father, the persons that the Father draws to Jesus, they will come to Jesus. And when they get to Jesus, Jesus does not say, "No, we're good. We're full. We won't need you here. No, you're not quite the right what we're looking for." What does Jesus say? I will never cast out. In other words, the people that God draws to Jesus will come to Jesus. And when they get to Jesus, Jesus will receive them. He will not cast them out. That phrase, cast out, that verb, cast out, is the most common verb phrase used for what Jesus and the disciples do toward demons in the Gospels. Cast out means to throw away, to throw out, like throwing out the trash. And Jesus says, every person that God calls, draws out to me, I'm not going to cast them out. Then he says one other thing, gives us one other point about these people that come to him. And it's in verse 39. Jesus says that the will of the Father is that, and it's after the comma, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me. So here's the thing. God draws, He pulls you and me out of the inertia of our sin and death, hell, and the grave, because we wouldn't do it on our own. He pulls us out of that, and whoever He pulls will come to Jesus, and when they get there, Jesus is not going to shun them or cast them back out. He's going to receive them, and once He has received them, guess what? He doesn't lose them. That means He don't lose you and me. If we've given our hearts and lives to Christ, if we are Christ followers, if God has drawn us to Him and we've received Christ, we've believed in Christ, He's not going to lose us. It says it right here. He won't lose us. What's the song say? Come on. Some of y'all learned it as kids. He's got the... In his hands, what's the second verse go? He's got you and me in His hands. Pretty good song, teaching kids, right? Got the whole world in His hands. We'll talk about another part of that in just a second. Right? Got the whole world. You and me in his hands. Why? Because he don't lose you and me. Now, what does this group, these people that Jesus is referring to, this whoever that comes to him, what do they get? Now look, if Jesus just stopped here, this would be enough. I mean, man, we've got a mountain we could talk about just in these four points. But that's not all Jesus says. Jesus repeatedly tells us of two things this group of people that the Father draws out of life, of sin, death, hell, and the grave, and draws to Jesus, who come to Jesus, who Jesus will receive, and who Jesus doesn't lose. He says that group of people, they get two very specific things by coming to Jesus, believing in Jesus. They get two very specific things. Here they are. Number one, Jesus says that I will raise them up on the last day. He says it three times, I believe, in the course of these 17, 18 verses. Three times. He says, I will raise them up on the last day. It's right here at the end of verse 39. What does that mean? This is clearly a look to the future. By last days, Jesus is talking about the end of the world, the apocalypse, the end times, however you want to phrase that. So he is saying that those whom the Father draws out, who will come to me, who I will not cast out, who I will not lose, on the last day, I will raise them up. I'll raise them up. That points to resurrection life. Now, what will Jesus raise them up to? Well, he will raise them up to life with him. Right? That's kind of the course that Jesus follows and the authors after Jesus follow as well. That he will raise them up to life with him, so that the grave is not the end. So that the tomb is not the final say for those who have believed and who have been drawn to Jesus. That there is life after death, which is the second thing that Jesus says that these people will receive. He says this four times in these verses. He says that they will have eternal life. Now, in today's culture and in today's world, we've got to define what Jesus means by eternal life, because unfortunately, there's several options you could take out there. Jesus could be referring to reincarnation. Jesus could be referring to losing oneself in the cosmos. Jesus could be referring to just nothingness. But he's not. He's not referring to any of those things. Jesus is not referring to a mere ending of existence. But he is referring to, as D.A. Carson says in his commentary on John, he is primarily referring to the passage from condemnation to acceptance, from death to life. Remember Jesus' words in John 5:24. We talked about these several weeks ago. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me," who believes in God, "has eternal life." And listen to what he says, "and he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Thus, in some sense, some very real sense, even though Jesus' look is toward the future, raising up on the last day, eternal life, it is still very much immediate. It's what theologians call already, not yet. That means today, look at me, today, right now, even though you're still living in the physical world, today you have assurance of resurrection life and eternal life. That's right now, that's immediate. That's today. Now, obviously, we hope none of you experienced that today. We want you around a little while longer. But we have assurance today that those are ours. But we ain't got them yet, do we? But one day, given enough time, all of us will experience resurrection and eternal life if we've believed in Jesus, if we've placed our faith in Jesus. So it's already, not yet. It's immediate and in the future. Because we've been delivered from judgment today, we'll be delivered from judgment in the future. We have new life in Christ today, we'll have resurrection, eternal life in the future. And all of us who've been drawn to Jesus, who've believed in Jesus, have that today. So, how do we apply this to our life? Really quickly, we've got a few more minutes, and then we'll get you home. There's really three things I think that we can take home with us from this passage, okay? So we've talked about what the passage means. Now let's talk about how do we work it out in our daily life. So here we go. Number one, God the Father was and is active. Now see, we've talked a lot about Jesus throughout these first six chapters of John. We've seen that Jesus was pre-existent. We've seen that Jesus was the creator. We've seen that Jesus is a miracle worker. We've seen that Jesus does miracles over nature and over physical abilities. I mean, a couple weeks ago we saw that he fed 5,000 to 20,000 people with five pitas and two sardines, right? So what's God been doing? What's God the Father been doing this whole time? Well, today's passage, Jesus speaks to that in the fact that he has been very, very active in the hearts and lives of people. So practically, what does that mean for us today? That means that God the Father is active in your life. Because what does Jesus say? He's the one who pulls people out of the inertia of sin, death, hell, and the grave. So God the Father's not just sitting up there twiddling his thumb on the throne, you know, playing Scrabble and all that kind of stuff. Tic-tac-toe, whatever. You know, he's working in the world. Hey, look at me. This kind of another level. He might be working, and you don't even know it, in somebody in your circle. Thought about that? He might be drawing a person in your circle to himself and you not know it. But guess what? He wants you to be a part of the process. Remember what I've told you? I heard this years ago, probably over a decade ago, that takes 21 touches before someone gives their heart and life to Christ. That can be through a myriad of ways. Mainly, it's through people just like me and you who God uses to draw those people toward Christ. And it may be somebody in your circle today. What does that mean for us? We got to be active just like the Father's active. We can't be just sitting around waiting on Him. We got to be active along with Him. Here's the second thing. What Jesus gives, the salvation, the eternal life, the resurrection life, the new life here today, is not a temporary gift. And toward the end of this passage in John 6, Jesus kind of correlates how his gift of bread is different than the gift that the group brought up of bread in the form of manna, which is the story about the Exodus. And so you can go read about that, all about the Exodus and how God fed the people manna, but it disappeared every day. And you could only get what you needed for that day. And if you got more than you needed for that day, it molded and went bad, and then you had to throw it out and get some the next day. And on Friday, you got enough for Friday and Saturday because manna didn't fall on the Sabbath day, which was Saturday. And so that day, you got to get 2 days' worth. But you had to get it every day. And then in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us very specifically that the manna stopped. You want to know why? Because Israel was in the promised land and they ate a meal in the promised land and they were there. And so God stopped the manna. It was a temporary gift. The gift that Jesus gives us is not temporary. It lasts forever. Hey, look, I said this last week. I'll say this again. Whatever you had for breakfast, I had mini sausage biscuits this morning. Right? Whatever you have for breakfast is a temporary gift. Come on now. It's not going to last. I mean, few of us might can make it till tomorrow at breakfast. But most of us ain't going to make it past lunch. I'm not. Right? Okay? It's a temporary gift. The gift that Jesus gives is an everlasting eternal gift. And I'm going to give one more point. And this may be, the most significant one, practically speaking, for us. Okay? You ready? Because it's going to hit some of us because of the situation of life we're in right now. Remember the song? What's the song? Come on. Y'all said it earlier. He's got the whole... Who? Who's the pronoun? He has the whole world in His hands. Right? So what does this passage tell us? Listen to me. We're almost done. It is not about how hard you hold on to Jesus. It is about how He holds on to us. Right? It is not about how firmly and tightly we can hold on to Jesus. Because let's be honest, there are all times that we stray. What's the song say? The other song say? We are prone to wander. Lord, I know it. We can sit here and act like, I'm holding on, Lord. And then we're like the squirrel. Ooh, acorn. And there we go. It is not about how hard we hold on to Jesus, but it is about how much of a grip He has on us. And what does Jesus tell us in this passage? I will not lose anyone who comes to me. Jesus doesn't say, listen to me, Jesus doesn't say, those who hold on to me the tightest, I will not lose. Nor does Jesus say, those who hold on to me the tightest, I will hold on to them the tightest. He doesn't say either of those, does he? He says, I will not lose those who come to me. Now, does that absolve us from like just, oh, I can do whatever I want to now? No. Absolutely not. Right? But today, the focus is on, it is about how much Jesus is holding you and how much the Father is pulling you out of the junk of life and into eternal resurrection life. So, the question we've got to remember today is, sum it up this way. Who are you holding on to? Or maybe this is the better way to say it. Who's holding on to you? Right? Who or what is holding on to you? Because just like we saw a couple weeks ago, where you can either, or last week, you can fill your life with junk food or with Jesus. God can either be holding on to you, Jesus can either be holding you in His hands, or somebody else will be, or something else will be. So which is it? So you have you in His hands, or did you decide to jump ship and you're in somebody else's hands? Now we've already seen what God and Jesus will do. I can't speak for nobody else, right? Decision has got to be yours. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.